you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Boy, am I glad it's finally the weekend. This has been Dumb and Dumber week for me. I'll admit I'm just glad it's over at this point. No, it hasn't been a bad week. Actually, it's been a pretty good week. It's just that it's tough being the CEO of your own company and the patriarch of your own family and being the low man on the dumber than dirt totem pole. You know what I mean? Well, I guess I should just start at the beginning so you'll understand the whole story. And yes, it does actually have something to do with food. As a routine, I eat prepackaged salads for lunch every day. Now, they're really good prepackaged salads, but I go to the grocery store every Monday and I try to buy enough of them to last me for all 5 workdays. And that's exactly what I did this past week. But when I got back to the studio with my 5 salads, I discovered that the ice maker in the refrigerator was jammed up, and I needed to defrost the ice maker to make it work right. So I pulled the fridge out away from the wall and unplugged it. But then I thought, what am I going to do with these salads while I wait a few hours for the ice maker to thaw out? This is where the dumber than a bag of rocks part comes in. I got this brilliant idea that the freezer section would stay cold if I kept the door shut. See, the ice maker is not directly connected to the freezer in this particular refrigerator, and it would be easy to store the salads in there in the freezer while I thawed out the ice maker. Then, when it was free of the jammed ice, I'd simply put the salads back in the refrigerator section, and they'd be just fine. So, I ate one of the salads for lunch, and when I'd successfully cleared the ice maker of the jammed ice, I plugged the fridge back in, and a couple of hours later, I heard the ice maker dump a load into the bucket. I'll tell you, I felt like Rick Allspa of Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. You know, a real live home handyman. I even checked the ice maker the next morning, Tuesday, and sure enough, it was full of ice. But when I went to the refrigerator to retrieve my second salad of the week for lunch on Tuesday, I realized I had left all 4 of those salads in the freezer overnight. And they looked like something you'd eat in the dining car of the Polar Express. Remember that movie? So that's when the stupid is as stupid does salvage operation began. I decided I'd thaw out the salad. But since it was already 1:30 in the afternoon, it wasn't like I could just wait around 2 or 3 hours for it to thaw on its own. So I got the bright idea to thaw it out in the microwave. And believe it or not, it actually worked. See, the chicken, the cheese, the croutons, the dressing, they were all in their own containers. So I put them in the microwave, and I put the microwave on the thaw setting and brought them all back up to room temperature one at a time. But I admit, while I was doing this, I thought to myself, wow, the host of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is thawing out a salad in a microwave. That's just wrong on so many levels, you know what I mean? But then I ate what had to be the coldest Caesar salad in culinary history. But I did eat it. Later that night, I confessed my mistake to my wife, Cindy, and her immediate reaction was to bury her face in her hands and mutter, "Lord, why did you make me fall in love with an idiot?" She looked up at me and she said, "You're not going to tell anybody about this, are you?" I said, "Of course I am. I'm going to put it in the monologue in the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show this weekend. It's hilarious. I'm a numbskull." Cindy kind of scrunched up her face and said, "But wasn't the lettuce all brown and yucky and stuff?" And I said, "No, it was just fine. It was a little crunchier than usual, but it was good." However, with all due respect to the legendary Paul Harvey, now here's the rest of the story. Wednesday, I went to the fridge to get my salad, and my wife's superior IQ became painfully obvious. The three remaining salads looked like stomach cramps in a carton. The lettuce was brown and yucky and wilted, and the whole thing just screamed, "Food poisoning!" So I chucked them all before I upchucked, and I went to the store and bought some more. All the while, with the mental picture of my wife with her face in her hands permanently seared in my brain. Mama says life is like a box of wilted lettuce. But in this case, you do know what you're going to get. You're going to get sick if you eat that. Yeah, Forrest Gump ain't got nothing on old Randy this week. Well, I hope that didn't ruin your appetite, because we really do have some good food and drink to talk about on today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, because it's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. And when I say everybody, I do mean everybody, because you know the old saying, on St. Patrick's Day, everybody is Irish. That means for the remainder of the program today, you should just call me Randy O'Hames, okay? Gee, that's almost as dumb as leaving your salad in the freezer overnight. You know, we've all heard the traditional story about how St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland, right? But that whole thing is nothing more than an allegory for the real story, which was St. Patrick converted thousands of Irish people to Christianity. And in doing so, that drove much of the evil, or snakes, like the devil in Genesis, out of Ireland. Or something like that, anyway. The truth is that Ireland has never had snakes, just lizards. And yes, being an island does play a role in that, but the Ice Age is a much more likely explanation. Most scientists think that the most recent Ice Age kept Ireland too cold for snakes, and St. Patrick had absolutely nothing to do with it at all. The true story of St. Patrick is much simpler and a lot less exciting. He was a 5th century Romano-British citizen who was kidnapped when he was 16 years of age by Irish raiders and taken as a slave to Gaelic Ireland. Actually, that sounds pretty exciting to me. Maybe not all that pleasant, but exciting, don't you think? Anyway, he spent 6 years as a shepherd in Ireland, during which time he found God. In a book called Declaration, which admittedly St. Patrick wrote about himself, he described how one day God told him to flee to the coast, where a ship would be waiting to take him home. And incredibly enough, that's exactly what happened. When he got back to Britain, he became a priest. Then he returned to Ireland as a missionary. This is when he converted so many pagan Irishmen, as the church called them back then, and he was especially focused on getting rid of the Druids from Ireland. That's where the allegory for driving the snakes out of Ireland actually comes from, because Christians considered the Druids to be heretics. So when he drove the Druids out of Ireland, the legend turned into St. Patrick drove the snakes out of Ireland. Get it? Now, the heavy drinking part of St. Patrick's Day, that was born out of Lent. Most of the time, St. Patrick's Day falls in the middle of Lent, and the restrictions on eating and drinking alcohol are lifted for the day. So that's the reason why so many people get so snockered on St. Patrick's Day. Of course, as a radio personality, I've hosted some pretty wild St. Patrick's Day events over the last 50 years or so. Way back in the 70s, I was the MC at a Dallas-area pizza parlor where we staged snake races, and we also had a snake beauty contest. The rattlesnake won, by the way. And afterward, this guy came up to me and said, "I lost my snake." And I said, "Wow, did the pepperoni on our pizza just slither a little bit?" That's when my wife jumped up on the table and yelled, "We're going home right now!" But my favorite St. Patrick's Day event has always been the annual Irish Tenor Contest at Birra Peretti's on West Grey. There were always a lot of contestants, but very few actual tenors, if you know what I mean. As in, he couldn't carry a tune in a U-Haul trailer. I do remember that Dallas used to have a huge St. Patrick's Day parade every year. There's even a cool story about that in my book, Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. Please buy my book. It's on Amazon and iTunes. But I don't ever remember being in a Houston St. Patrick's Day parade. Then again, there are a lot of things I don't remember from back in my drinking days, so I'll never know for sure. But there are lots of things to drink and eat for St. Patrick's Day, and that'll be the subject on today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. So stick around and find out what I do that will make my wife bury her face in her hands this time.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Randy Hames here with hot news from Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's Best Crawfest is back, and better than ever. Last year's Crawfest was so much fun, Jason Cogburn decided to make it a two-day event, March 30th and 31st in Bay Street Park on the Texas City Dike, right across the street from Boyd's One Stop. Lots of fun and food for the whole family with a kids' zone, food trucks, vendors, and plenty of live music, including the School of Rock, Grupo Enlace, and the Drugstore Gypsies. And of course, Boyd's One Stop will be serving up the most delicious crawfish feast on the entire Gulf Coast. It's the second annual Boyd's Best Crawfest, Saturday, March 30th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st from noon to 6 in Bay Street Park on the Texas City Dike, right next door to Boyd's One Stop. Tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids 5 through 10 years of age. Call 409-347-3105 or visit boydsonestop.com. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspa at Allspa's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspa's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspa's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspa's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspa's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspas.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspa's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, here is Dave Roach, who owns and operates The Gorgeous Gale, an Irish bar. How are you, Dave?
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well. Obvious from your accent, you ain't from around here, as we like to say in Texas. So are you a native of Ireland?
Yes, I'm from County Cork in Ireland. I moved over here about 4 years ago.
And we know your business partner at The Gorgeous Gale. Is he an Irish native too?
Yeah, there's Peter and Ronan. We're all from Cork, all from the same spot.
So what brought you guys to the United States? Or, I guess, Houston, Texas, of all places?
I suppose Peter, my business partner, we were looking for a bar restaurant opportunity in America. And we started off with New York. And we kind of traveled around to Colorado, Boston, Chicago. And we knew somebody in Colorado who recommended Houston to us. He said he had an opportunity down there for us. So we hopped on a plane, came to Houston, and been here since.
So you've lived all over the country.
Briefly. We spent about 2 or 3 months in New York and then kind of just traveled around for a few days here and there.
And just so we know for sure, are we correct in assuming that you are in charge of the food at the Gorgeous Gale and Rowan is in charge of the drink?
Yes, basically. Rowan will be in charge of the drink. Peter is actually my business partner. He can take care of operations with myself, and I would look after the food more than those guys. My background, I suppose, I have a little bit more experience in food than they would have.
And we also hear that there's an interesting story behind the name, The Gorgeous Gale. So give us all those details.
Okay. The Gorgeous Gale basically is the nickname for a boxer. His name is Jack Doyle. He's from Cove in County Cork. He, I suppose, was a boxer. He became an actor. He was a tenor. He was, I suppose, he acted in two Hollywood movies. He was famous for marrying Movita. He's Castaneda, I think. So he was quite a character. He was kind of a guy full of life. Got himself into a lot of trouble. Got himself out of a lot of trouble. there's a good story behind him.
And a good conversation piece. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day. So we need to hear the legend of St. Patrick from a real-life native of Ireland. First of all, is the story about St. Patrick driving all the snakes out of Ireland a common tale back in Ireland, or is that just something that we idiot Americans dreamed up?
No, it's true. Well, they say it's true. I don't know what truth's behind it, but it's kind of known. It's known there too.
So, who was Saint Patrick really, and what did he do to become a saint in the Catholic Church?
He was basically a Christian missionary, I suppose. He was kidnapped and brought to Ireland, as the story goes. Didn't like the way Ireland was operating at the time. A lot of pagans. So then he escaped from Ireland, but then he returned. He believed it was his duty to come back to Ireland and to spread the word of Christianity.
So is St. Patrick's Day a big deal in Ireland, or is this more of a made-up celebration that those of us who live in other countries use as an excuse to drink green beer one day a year?
It's a bit of both. Traditionally, it's a big day back home. I remember when I was younger with my family, it was a big family day. I think everybody would go to church, would go to the parade afterwards, maybe have a big family meal. So it was kind of, for my youth anyway, it was a big day. It is a bit of an excuse for drink, obviously. Things get a bit messy back home. But I think over here in America, for example, I think they probably celebrate it to a bigger extent. It's probably nearly a bigger deal over here.
What kinds of things happen in Ireland on St. Patrick's Day? Do they have parades too?
Yeah, absolutely. Every city would have a parade, especially mainly in Dublin, I suppose in Cork. They would have a big parade in the morning, which would be kind of a family affair. And then I suppose after that, families would clear out, and I suppose the older generation would come out and take over the bars and restaurants, and a lot of music would be playing. And it's a good day out, but as I said, it's kind of a bit chaotic. It's one of those days when you get older, you kind of avoid in the city, especially back home.
Well, what kind of events or specials do you have planned for the Gorgeous Gale for this weekend? You going to have green beer, any specials on Irish whiskey, those kinds of things?
Yeah, what we do is, I suppose, we have green beer running all day, all week. We've been running it since Monday last week. So we have Guinness, we have Harp, we have Smittix, a lot of Irish products. We have a very, very good selection of Irish whiskey. We have food specials, we do shepherd's pie, we have corned beef and cabbage, there are fish and chips, A lot of Irish music today. A lot of Irish bands playing and Irish music playing all day.
Any Irish dancers?
We will. Irish dancers will be on board too today, yeah. They'll be on about 2 o'clock today. They come every year. We're supposed to have a bagpiper coming on too later on this evening.
Now, this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, and you're more of the food expert here, Dave. So let's talk about traditional Irish cuisine. A lot of people make fun of how heavily Irish people depend upon potatoes as a staple in their diets. Is that really true?
Yeah, growing up, absolutely. Every day without fail, I think we have potatoes. It's slightly changing over the last maybe decade or so, or maybe, you know, but growing up heavily, we relied on potatoes, yeah, absolutely.
And cabbage. You mentioned corned beef and cabbage, but we hear bacon and cabbage is a big deal in Ireland.
Yeah, traditionally, I suppose it's bacon more than corned beef. I think the story goes that corned beef kind of came popular over here because as a substitute for bacon. But back home, we wouldn't use corned beef a lot. It would be bacon.
Do dishes in Ireland vary according to region, kind of like they do in Italy?
Not really, to be honest. It's just like, I suppose Ireland is quite small. It's surrounded by water, so fish is quite popular throughout Ireland. You have some slight variations of dishes, but in general, it's quite a simple food, just kind of home cooking, well done, and you kind of get more or less the same throughout the country.
You mentioned shepherd's pie a moment ago. We almost always think of that as exclusively being in England, but apparently it's an Irish dish too, so give us your best recipe.
Shepherd's pie. Well, I suppose shepherd's pie, I prefer shepherd's pie made with lamb. A lot of people make it with beef. We make it with beef here ourselves. So quite a simple recipe for shepherd's pie. You'd have onion, garlic, you'd have carrots, celery, and then you'd have your lamb, obviously. You can add a glass of red wine just to give it a bit of flavor. You have beef stock. We use a little bit of tomato puree. What else would we do? We might put a dash of Worcestershire sauce in it just to give it a bit of a kick. And that's mainly it. It's quite a simple recipe. But when it's done well, it's a beautiful dish.
Having said all that, the obvious dish that all our at-home chefs are going to want to know about is Irish stew. So how do you prepare the Irish stew at the Gorgeous Gael?
Irish stew, okay. We use beef, obviously good beef. We try to use usually beef chuck, the shoulder. Kind of, again, it's kind of marbled with fat. It gives that kind of flavor. Once it's cooked for 2 or 3 hours, it kind of breaks down and gives that kind of tender meat. We seal off the meat first. Just brown the meat to keep in the flavor. We use onion, we use celery, carrot, we put some leek in it. You can add bacon, we don't. You also can add ash mushrooms, you put thyme in it. Obviously, we use a lot of beef stock. Kind of cook it, I suppose the secret is we kind of cook it for 2 to 3 hours, slow cook it. It takes a little bit of time, but we just let it cook slowly. Like anything else, it just kind of breaks up the meat nicely. And we serve it then with mashed potato, with scallions, and home-cooked Irish brown bread.
And purists will insist that the only acceptable ingredient for Irish stew is mutton or kid. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I prefer my beef myself personally. Like, it kind of spit. Back home, lamb would be used a lot, definitely. It's kind of a lighter, waterier kind of stew. Some people prefer that, definitely. I know my business partner here, Peter, he prefers lamb. I kind of grew up, my mother cooked with lamb, my grandmother cooked with beef, but I suppose traditionally it would be lamb in Ireland.
So Irish diners wouldn't be offended by the use of beef in Irish stew?
No, I think they'd be used to both. And it depends, so there's a lot of homes back home would use lamb, but there is a kind of a large part of the population would use beef too, so they would be used to both. Now, my mother wouldn't touch beef stew, for example. She just likes lamb stew, and that's it. So yeah, I suppose some wouldn't be offended, but they might avoid it.
We've been visiting with Dave Roach, who owns and operates the Gorgeous Gael, an Irish bar here in Houston. Where are you located, Dave?
We're at 5555 Morningside Drive.
And what's your website?
It is thegorgeousgaelbar.com.
And any social media presence?
Yeah, I suppose a Facebook. Our Facebook page is The Gorgeous Gael Bar. Would be where all the details, you get all the information on what's happening today and what we have generally in lineup for the week. Just Facebook has everything.
Thank you for taking the time to talk to us, Dave, and Erin Garbra.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. Thank you very much. You too.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaws.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Randy Hames here with hot news from Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's Best Crawfest is back, and better than ever. Last year's Crawfest was so much fun, Jason Cogburn decided to make it a two-day event, March 30th and 31st in Bay Street Park on the Texas City Dyke, right across the street from Boyd's One Stop. Lots of fun and food for the whole family, with a kids zone, food trucks, vendors, and plenty of live music, including the School of Rock, Grupo Enlace, and the Drugstore Gypsies. And of course, Boyd's One Stop will be serving up the most delicious crawfish feast on the entire Gulf Coast. It's the second annual Boyd's Best Crawfest, Saturday, March 30th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sunday, March 31st from noon to 6 in Bay Street Park on the Texas City Dyke, right next door to Boyd's One Stop. Tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids 5 through 10 years of age. Call 409-347-3105 or visit boydsonestop.com. Hi, friends. Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
Welcome back, our executive producer and our favorite foodie, by the way. It's Greg Berlocker. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Randy. How are you?
Well, doing well. Greg recently had some problems with his knee. So briefly now, tell us that story.
I had my knee scoped, and then about 3 weeks later, I came down with gout. And my goodness, it was painful. But the good news is that I'm on the road to recovery.
Well, but you told me something about some cherry juice homeopathic treatment?
Yep, I've had gout multiple times in my big toe, but it can also happen in your knee and in your shoulder. So a bunch of people told me to drink tart cherry juice. And I'm like, that sounds like a home remedy. Well, I Googled it, and there's actually medical studies that show that tart cherry juice reduces the uric acid in your blood.
Huh.
So in addition to the medicine that the doctor gave me, I had been bolstering the efficacy of the medicine with a glass of tart cherry juice at night. And I have to tell you, it has gone.
Has it worked, though?
It has. And there is another study I found with 600 people, and the two worked together quite well. So I'm pleased. I had a blood test last week, and the doctor gave me thumbs up that the medication's not hurting me in any way. So I'm very fortunate. And this week I have been walking pain-free for the first time in a long time. Very, very blessed.
Well, I'm sorry, Greg. That sounds like something a hippie friend of mine tried to pass off on me back in the early 70s.
No, man, really. Just drink this stuff and meditate, bro. And soon you'll be playing bongos naked in the forest and talking like Matthew McConaughey.
I know you Aggies love any Matthew McConaughey joke I can make, right?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, oh, my goodness. It's been too long.
Well, Greg, it has been. And Greg is a lot more than our executive producer for the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. He also owns and operates his own company called Cellular and Satellite. So tell us what you guys offer, Greg.
Gosh, Randy, we provide a wide variety of wireless data communication services for businesses. Gosh, on the cellular side and the satellite side, we deal with a number of different businesses, anything from drilling rigs and pipelines that need to communicate out. They're way off the blacktop and they have no other means of communicating. We can put in a satellite dish and bring in megabytes of a bandwidth. We also work with businesses. Surprisingly enough, a number of the businesses in the Houston area, they have one internet connection. And when you think about Edgewater Studios, you know, you do business through the internet these days.
Yeah.
And if you have a staff of 5, 10, 20 people or 100 people, think of the lost opportunity cost. If that connection, let's say they're working on the sewer outside of your building and that backhoe slices through your fiber optic connection and you're down for a day or two, you're going to have 100 people sitting there twiddling their thumbs, not getting any work done. So a backup internet connection is something that we can provide that's very, very cost effective. And we can either do that via satellite or with cellular. So we also work with a number of different wireless data plans, people, traveling executives and that don't want to get held hostage to the roaming fees through their favorite wireless carrier, or people that want to have remote connectivity out where you can't call up one of the cable TV companies. There's just a wide variety of different data services that we offer. And of course, one of the most popular things we do is to put cell phone boosters in people's buildings. Nowadays, if you look at all the beautiful glass and what they call glazing on many multi-story buildings, they get that beautiful effect by putting minerals into the glass. Well, those minerals keep the cell phone signals from going in and out.
Wow.
So we can put in a booster and usually several in an area. Or if you're in one of the service areas where you go down certain roads and you see a lot of oil patch sort of companies, they're notoriously in metal buildings. And that's very, very difficult to get a cell phone connection in and out. So if you're in sales or if you're the owner of the company, we just installed one here in Sugar Land, for our bank. The bank vice presidents would go out at lunch. They'd have four voicemail messages they never even knew came in. So, cell phone boosters are a very, very, cost effective solution to allow your whole staff to be able to communicate, no matter what sort of building you're in.
So how do interested customers get in touch with you to learn more about cellular and satellite? Got a website?
We do. It's the word cellular and satellite, all spelled out, .com. And if you want to call us on the phone, it's 832 551-1000. We'd love to visit with them.
As my Irish grandmother would say, learn something new every day. Today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is celebrating today, St. Patrick's Day, and Burlocker is a nice Irish name, right?
That's what my dad always said. Actually, he was Swiss, but no matter what your name was, Smith, oh, that's a good Irish name. So.
Yes, that's where I got it too. But today, of course, as we've said already on the show, St. Patrick's Day, everybody's Irish. For the remainder of this interview, you shall be known as Greg O'Burlocker, okay?
Right, you are.
We just finished talking to David Roach over at the Gorgeous Gale, and he gave us some really interesting background on St. Patrick's Day and its history, real and mythical, I might add. But I was especially intrigued by some of his opinions on what constituted Irish food fare. For instance, David insisted that shepherd's pie is not exclusively a British dish. I've always thought that, but he said Irish love it too. So do you have a recipe for shepherd's pie you could share with us, Greg?
Not so much on shepherd's pie. It's a combination of things that are topped with mashed potatoes and then baked. And you get that wonderful combination of potato and every bite. But I've actually never made it. I've always enjoyed it while eating out. So I'm more of an Irish stew guy. That's a pretty cool dish. There's much like beans and chili, that debate. And, of course, a real Texan doesn't eat beans in his chili. But there's this big debate whether vegetables belong in Irish stew. Traditionally, it's made with mutton, which is an older sheep. But a lot of Americans find that mutton is a little bit too strong a flavor for them. And they've started making a lighter version. It's a little bit lighter on the palate, not as strong a flavor with lamb. But you typically braise, you cook down the chunks of mutton. You brown them in small batches so you'll get a nice color on them. And then you remove the meat from, say, a cast iron skillet or an enamel skillet. And all of those bits of flavor that stick to the pan is the French have a great name called fond. And that's where all the flavor is. And so then you remove all of the pieces of meat and you put in several tablespoons of flour. And then you cook that down and brown it in all the remaining bits of meat in the pan until it browns real nicely. Then you put the meat back in and you add some broth, and then you braise it, which is, you know, braising is kind of like roasting, but in a wet environment. But it's different than boiling. Boiling, you would cover everything up and let it rip. Where braise, you just maybe add an inch of liquid. And so you're roasting, but in a wet environment, and it tends to help break the meat down, but also keep it very moist while you do that. And traditionally, you get into the big debate, whether you add carrots, onions, potatoes. The people that the Irish stew aficionados that don't believe you should have vegetables typically serve the Irish stew, which would only be the beef and the broth, and then they ladle that over some homemade mashed potatoes, which that's my favorite way to do it. So I'm a potato junkie.
Well, if you were a shepherd hoping for a pie, you're getting no luck out of Greg O'Burlocker. And there are lots of other dishes that we've just run out of time before we ran out of ideas. So this has been our executive producer here on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, Greg O'Burlocker, who just happens to also be our favorite foodie. Thanks for your time, and don't get too drunk on that cherry juice, okay, bud?
Thanks so much, Randy. So good talking to you.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. It's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a video or a new website or help in managing their social media, and my company, Edgewater Digital, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of digital marketing. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time or expertise to build and maintain your website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to manage your company's internet ads or social media accounts? Like, never, right? Well, at Edgewater Digital, that's what we do. We have a talented web design team who've built a number of incredibly successful websites for companies large and small. Need content too? No problem. Edgewater can provide copywriting, photography, and videography services to enhance the content on your website, email marketing, or even social media. We're a full-service digital marketing solution with a track record of success. Call us today at 832-500-4272 or see our website, edgewater-digital.com. Hey guys, Randy Hames here to tell you about my good friend Rick Allspaw at Allspaw's Ace Hardware in Kingwood. I've known Rick for years. He's one of the finest Christian men I've ever met, but he's also got a dynamite Ace Hardware store at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood. Allspaw's Ace Hardware is everything you'd expect to find in a top-of-the-line hardware store, but with the personal touch that's missing from the big-box stores. Allspaw's Ace Hardware has tools and automotive, lawn and garden, electrical and plumbing, paint and hardware, all under one roof. But Rick is also an avid backyard chef, so Allspaw's Ace Hardware features a complete barbecue pit house to fulfill all your outdoor cooking needs. From gas to charcoal grills to fryers and steamers, they've got it all at Allspaw's Ace Hardware. And they even offer grill maintenance and repair. Visit their website, allspaw's.com, or just drop by and see for yourself. Allspaw's Ace Hardware at 2720 West Lake Houston Parkway in Kingwood, and tell them I sent you. Randy Hames here with hot news from Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's Best Crawfest is back, and better than ever. Last year's Crawfest was so much fun, Jason Cogburn decided to make it a two-day event, March 30th and 31st in Bay Street Park on the Texas City Dyke, right across the street from Boyd's One Stop. Lots of fun and food for the whole family, with a kids' zone, food trucks, vendors, and plenty of live music, including the School of Rock, Grupo Enlace, and the Drugstore Gypsies. And of course, Boyd's One Stop will be serving up the most delicious crawfish feast on the entire Gulf Coast. It's the second annual Boyd's Best Crawfest, Saturday, March 30th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st from noon to 6 in Bay Street Park on the Texas City Dyke, right next door to Boyd's One Stop. Tickets are only $10 for adults and $5 for kids 5 through 10 years of age. Call 409-347-3105 or visit boydsonestop.com.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
We talked about this earlier in the opening monologue, but one of the traditions on St. Patrick's Day is that everyone's Irish. So we all call each other Randy O'Hames or Irving O'Harrigan, but that's a little redundant. But that doesn't exactly sound right with my old buddy from the Hudson and Harrigan show, Fred Olson, because if we did that, his name would be Fred O. Olson.
Fred O.
And that's just wrongo.
Yeah, the Norwegian, Swedish, tie-in, whatever that is, doesn't seem to fly, does it? Well, Faith and Megora, it's lovely to be with you, lad.
But it, even though your last name is Nordic,
yes,
don't I recall you saying you've got some Irish in your family background, right?
Yes, my grandmother Elizabeth, her family was off the boat Irish in the 1800s. I think she was born, and the reason I looked this up a couple of years ago, I was giving a talk at the Christian Women's Organization. I was going to talk about Christian women in my life, and the one who popped up was my grandmother, because I lived with them quite a bit. But anyway, she was born in Illinois in 1901,
uh-huh.
But she was a sweet little Irish lady, and just the crux of the family and very peaceful and quiet and graceful, never ran anybody down, never talked anybody down, and she just kind of peacefully ruled my grandfather, thank God, because he needed it. And she was a saint because she lived with my grandfather for 50 plus years. I'll tell you a quick story about my granddad. This is neat. So he used to fall asleep with his pipe.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with him for a while, like I said, and it, you know, and you'd have to look at grandpa to make sure he didn't set himself on fire. And I'm not making this up. So you'd be watching Lawrence Welk, and of course you're stuck watching Lawrence Welk at 13, right? And he, you know, you look over once in a while, he'd be going like this, oh, smacking his chest. And I'm okay. It's all right.
I love it. Well, I'm a total mutt. I got a little bit of everything in my bloodline. British, Scottish, Irish, German, Native American.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably have more Native American blood in my veins than Elizabeth Warren.
Mm.
But at least I don't go around claiming to be Sitting Bull. Shooting the bull, maybe, but not Sitting Bull.
You know, it's funny. We've been talking recently. A friend of ours, he'd done that 23andMe or history, whatever thing, where you send in a swab and they give you your DNA reading. And
I
wonder, I mean, if any of you in the audience listening have done that, you know, get back to Randy here and talk to him about that. I just find it fascinating. Before I spend $100, you know, I'm a little little skeptical of things before I put any money on it. But anyways, I'll find out how much Irish I do have. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Candidly, I've never really understood this fascination we have with being hyphenated Americans. I mean, Hames, for instance, very British name. Hello, Mr. Ames. But I don't really feel any more pride in my ancestors being from Great Britain than I am of being born redheaded and freckle-faced. I mean, I'm not British American or Scottish American or even Irish American, even on St. Patrick's Day. I'm just an American. The fact that my forefathers came to this country from all those places just isn't important to me at all, because I'm an American, first, last, and always. And I don't make any excuses about that. I'm very proud of it. How about you?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I to see the heritage, I have a cousin, Becky, who'd done kind of the lineage of the family and found old photographs from the 1800s in the Dakotas with the family on a wagon.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents' family came from, and I looked at that, and I was just proud that they were able to get through Dakota on that thing and get to Minnesota in time to plant a garden.
Well, you know, there's a reason why they called it the Badlands.
Yes. Well, yeah. But they were good people from the Badlands. But it's just interesting to see in their faces. I can see my grandfather. Yeah, there's old Fred in there. I see him, not me. My grandfather was named Fred. But, it's fascinating to kind of see where you come from, especially at this, you know, in the kind of the final glide path of our life, in our next 20, 30 years of life that we're blessed to have, right?
Yep.
It's kind of neat to see where you came from, and all the stories you heard, you go, wow, those are true. Hmm.
And if other people are proud of being German-American or Czech-American or whatever, that doesn't bother me either. I mean, I respect their feelings.
Oh.
I don't begrudge them the right to call themselves by those names. But for me, my family has been American for so long that it's really kind of difficult to be sure exactly where my ancestors came from when they immigrated to this country.
Well, there's a reason they came here.
And it was a couple of hundred years ago, Fred, so I just don't care. I'm an American-American, you know what I mean?
Except today, you're Irish.
That's true. Today, we're all Irish, aren't we?
You know what I call it? Amateur night. I used to live near Kennelly's Pub, and I loved that place, but I couldn't go near it on St. Patrick's Day.
Really?
You couldn't get, you know, within, you know, four deep at the bar, you know, in those days. And it was, they always had a great time, but I go, not today. I'm just going to wait till tomorrow and look at the aftermath of any Irish bar, really.
Now, wait a minute. Not even when you were single?
Oh, no. Even for St. Patty's Day? No. That's, nothing good happens after, what did they say, 2 a.m. on any given day?
Right.
Nothing good happens after 10 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day.
I was going to say 2 p.m.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there were those days, too. I don't do that.
Well, obviously, yeah. I can distinctly recall you and me wearing the same old bright green shirts every year on St. Patrick's Day when we remembered to wear green at all.
Yeah, really?
I think yours was some kind of sports jersey. Do I remember that right?
Yeah, it was. It was rugby, Ireland.
Yes.
It was a rugby shirt. I still have that somewhere because I don't throw things away. So I've got it somewhere.
Yeah, I've still got mine too. I got mine working with youth choir at church, and we dressed all the kids in red and green mock turtlenecks, and mine was a green turtleneck, so it doubled as a Christmas shirt and a St. Patrick's Day shirt.
Yeah, it wasn't for the shillelagh on the front, you know, as it was kind of a giveaway, right?
Well, now be honest. It's St. Patrick's Day. Are you wearing green today? Me neither.
No, not. But my place is greening up because spring is here.
Well, there's an interesting question. So what are you growing in your garden? How about cabbage? There's a perfect St. Patrick's Day food.
Well, actually, honey? Is cabbage a winter crop? She says more of a winter crop.
Ah.
So lettuce and cabbage and things like that. But we're putting in tomatoes. We've got tomatoes in. There'll be peppers, jalapenos, the mucho nacho hot peppers, cucumbers, beans, okra. Gosh, what else? I'll miss something. That pretty well covers everything we need to live on right there.
Well, you know, corned beef and cabbage is a big deal on St. Patrick's Day. Do you guys ever eat that?
You have to have some cabbage. I like that. What's that? There they go. Chinese cabbage. What is that? Cabbage lettuce mixture.
Hmm.
Hold on. Honey, what's that Chinese cabbage mixture cabbage we buy?
You notice how many times he has to ask his wife to get things right.
Okay, they call it Chinese cabbage. It's really good. Just saying.
So, do you ever have corned beef and Chinese cabbage?
I'm not a big corned beef guy, but, you know, if I had some in front of me now, I'd probably eat it. I just don't think of it.
Yeah, I think I'll just settle for a corned beef on rye from Jason's Deli. Thank you very much.
Ooh, that sounds good, too.
It does. You know, our earlier guest was Dave Roach of Gorgeous Gale, and he recommended shepherd's pie.
Mm.
Now, I've heard several people say that shepherd's pie is British, but he insisted that the Irish love it too. Plus, he said a lot of Americans prefer shepherd's pie made with beef instead of lamb. Like, for instance, my wife won't eat lamb. She thinks it's too gamey, so I never get lamb at my house. But every time I hear shepherd's pie, it reminds me of hot pie on Game of Thrones. You know, that's coming back in exactly 1 month.
Well, that's right. That's right. Winter is here.
Yeah, and we find out a whole lot this time. Of course, they're wrapping up a lot of storylines this time around.
I need to subscribe to HBO.
Well, you know you can buy all of this stuff on DVD, Fred, and then you can binge watch it all at once.
Yeah,
you know?
But you have to wait till the series is over, though. Don't you have to wait till it all shows on HBO before you can buy it?
No, you can buy past seasons, but yeah, you do need to get HBO to see the next season.
Well, since I have Dish, HBO is not on Dish anymore, so you have to buy HBO whatever to watch it. HBO whatever, I like that. So I guess I could buy it just for that, for the X amount of seasons.
Yep.
That it's going to be on and then cancel it. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, Fred. I've got a DVD set of the first, I think it's 4 or 5 seasons, and I'll let you look at that.
No, you already did that. You already got me hooked on it. It's your fault.
So...
No, you did that, and we started watching that, and after the first one, she goes, oh, it's okay. Then by the second one, we were done.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about binging.
Yeah. It'll get you, bud.
Oof.
Well, I think we got a pretty fair start on St. Patrick's Day, so go find that old bright green jersey and put it on, at least until Bev threatens to throw you out of the house, okay?
Well, you know what? I think it still fits.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something else.